Welcome to This Woman Can, the Women's Leadership Podcast and your source of information related to women's leadership, female entrepreneurship, personal success and career advancement. I'm your host, Janice Sutherland, Executive Coach, Leadership Development Expert and the author of This Woman Can, the No Bullshit Guide for Women Who Lead. And now, this week's episode. Hey, and welcome to this week's edition of This Woman Can. I hope you are well wherever you are in the world as we start to move over to business on usual. My guest this week, I had the pleasure of meeting her, first of all, online via social media. Then I met her in real life when I was at an event last year on a travel, when we could travel to Trinidad last year. And this year I had the opportunity to support her in an event she was running in Conversations Over Coffee with Charlene Pedro. So as you can probably guess, her name is Charlene Pedro. And she is a sought after corporate and personal development trainer and the founder, CEO and principal consultant of Convensys Consulting, a human resource management company based in Trinidad and Tobago that helps clients solve their people problems by designing customized programs to upgrade leadership skills, employee development, and performance management. As I said, Charlene is the founder of Conversations Over Coffee with Charlene Pedro, which is a successful breakfast training program that seeks to inform, engage and inspire CEOs, managed professionals to make a positive impact in their workspace. So I was delighted to present at this week's event. She's also the co-founder of H2H Leadership Forum, where she created a space for learning and sharing of leadership experiences and academic discourse. Now, Charlene really believes that everyone has been bestowed with a unique gift, but our challenge in life is to find our gift, unwrap that gift, and share it with the world. She offers personal development training for coaching, where she helps individuals build their confidence, identify their gifts, and go after the things that set their soul on fire. She's also a member of the This Woman Can community online, so don't forget to join us there. A strong advocate of giving back to society, Charlene is the immediate past president of the Association of Female Executives of Trinidad and Tobago and a mentor for their Reach Mentorship program. Plus, she volunteers for the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. So let's sit back and listen to this week's episode. So hi, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of This Woman Can. And as I said in the intro, my guest this week is Charlene Pedro. So, and she hails, should I say, hails from Trinidad and Tobago. So hi, Charlene, how are you doing this morning?
I am just wonderful this morning. You know, the sun is up, did a little bit of gardening, so it's a fantastic morning.
You know, I have to admit, as soon as I finish this interview with you, that's exactly where I'm heading. So mm-hmm. I did a little bit of gardening first thing to get to, you know, and then I'm at war with the snails. So,
wow.
So I know exactly what you mean. So Charlene, so as I said, thank you so much for joining me this morning. And as I would have mentioned in your intro, you are a CEO and principal of your own business in HR management, human resources management. But I haven't met anybody yet so far who gets up and said, oh, I'm going to be a HR person. I'm going to work in this field, etc. So tell us a little bit about your journey and how you got to where you are today.
Well, HR, I had loved HR. But let me wind back a bit. So I like to tell people, you know, in a journey far away in another galaxy, I worked as an accounts clerk. Yeah, I was a requisition clerk in an accounts office, so consider open office, which is desk, not even cubicles, just desk. And I will have these piles of requisitions from department to department, and I would log them in the computer and do a monthly report so that they could assign the cost to various departments. So while I was there, I decided to do my first degree.
Right.
So this was me married. Actually, I was on maternity leave when I remember visiting, and that's with my first daughter, Abiel. And I remember going to UWE to find out, you know, school year is starting, but I didn't get anything in the mail. So they had an error and they said, yes, I'm registered, and I started the following week. So you know, I'm working in accounts. I had to go to work early in the morning, work through lunch so that I could leave early to do classes part-time in the afternoon, started whether it's 5 or 5:30. I worked in the West. Before I get to school, I would pass by my mom, because remember, I have my first daughter. She's 3 months old. I'll pass by my mom, go and breastfeed my daughter, and then my husband will drop me to class. And then he'll pick me up after class in the night. Then we'll pass by my mom again, pick up our bundle and head home.
Right.
So that's how it started for me. And I had to leave my job to go full-time, because we had a process where you had to do your first level 2 years part-time. And to finish your degree, you had to go full-time for 2 years.
Okay.
So I remember leaving my job and everybody thought I was crazy. You know, everybody in the office, you're leaving your full-time job to go and study. You know, what about your income, even if you're married? Yes. My husband is a teacher, so he's not a CEO of a company. But he has always been so supportive. I couldn't ask for a better husband. And in spite of, you know, all the naysayers, I left. My philosophy in my mind, Janice, was that, you know, I wasn't earning much money here anyway, so I'm not going to miss it.
Right.
Know? So I really took I made a decision to invest in myself. And, you know, I started UE not knowing how I would finish. I didn't have the money to finish. But, you know, I just started. And during the years, I got a bursary, I remember, from Eastern Credit Union. I got a job during the August vacation before my last year. So I was able to finance, you know, the cost of studies, although I didn't, you know, I started not knowing where the money was coming from.
Yeah.
And so when I graduated, and I was in 2000, I started sending out, you know, job applications, my resume and applications to companies. And I landed a job as a corporate services officer with a company, and then had a fantastic manager. And when she left, she recommended me for the management position.
Wow.
So that's how I ended up in management. And then within that company now, I was, and this was in 2011 now, I tell people I like to use the term, I was involuntarily separated. Okay, that's a nice term. After working 12 years. And I remember that was really the most turbulent time in my career.
Right.
You know, really difficult. I remember having on my whiteboard, I had written, no weapon formed against you shall prosper.
Yeah.
And I left that there until I was leaving. And, you know, just before I was leaving, well, what really started it was having to advertise my own position as being vacant. And I must say, but it was a wonderful organization. I had a fantastic team, and the people were warm. So it was a good learning experience for me.
Right.
And I was busy sending out my resume to, you know, to look for a job. And as I was leaving that organization was when I had my first client.
Wow.
And, you know, so I always tell people I'm the accidental entrepreneur.
Yes.
So it was never planned. So I still have that client today. And that's how Conventus Consulting actually started. Fabulous. And that was what led me to this part that I am right now.
So, great story. Couple of things I want to highlight there. Because like you, I went back to school as a mature student with 2 children, etc. Worked part-time, blah, blah, blah. But you were still on maternity leave, like you said. So what was going through your head? What was your driver to say, look, I need to go back to school here? What drove you? What propelled you to decide to do that? Because you're still on maternity leave.
Yes. I think, you know, growing up in my home, you know, doing a degree wasn't really discussed.
Yes.
And I think after when I started, before that I did a program, a certificate program, and people there were talking about doing their degree.
Yeah.
And Ashley was a friend that encouraged me to do the degree.
Yeah.
And funny enough, she did not sign up. But it was really encouragement. It wasn't a plan, but it just goes to show you the power of having the right people to encourage you around you.
So
it wasn't in my plan really, but when I did a certificate program, I realized my potential.
Yes,
I realized that I could do this. Yeah. And that's, so I did my degree. And then actually I went back and do my master's when I was working some years down the line.
We have very similar paths. We have very, we have very similar paths. And like you said, it's, I think one of the things I always have a challenge with when I was growing up, probably now, is that asking children to kind of choose subjects that will define their career for the rest of their life. But in my experience and what I've seen the experience of others, is that you don't always know what you want to do. And sometimes you do accidentally fall into what you want to do. You know, they don't teach you that at school. So I think it's great that we can, we get the opportunity to take a pit stop at some point in our life and decide this is the direction you want to go in. I think it's great. But like you said, we can always choose to do that. It's whether we choose to do it.
Yes.
So Charlene, you talked about one of the most turbulent times in your career. And that was you obviously going through an involuntary separation. How did you, when you faced that challenge, how do you actually get past it? How do you overcome it? And what lessons did you learn from it?
Well, you know, when I look back, because I asked myself that question too, you know, what would I have done differently? And one, I would have spoken up more.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I'm the type of person, I tell people I like to conserve my energy. So I don't like to waste time. If I, you know, mention something or say something once and you're not taking me on, I move on, you know? So I would have spoken up more when I look back.
Okay.
And I must say although I was looking for a job and whatnot, and it was a turbulent time, my mind, I actually dreamt, I went on vacation and came back, and I dreamt when I was on vacation that somebody was sitting in my chair when I got back.
Wow.
I was amazed to come back to find out I still had a job. So all I had those dreams and visions, you know, deep down in my mind, it my mind was in turbulence.
Right.
Yeah. I still felt that that everything will be okay. You know, that I always tell people God has my back. So deep down, I still felt that whatever happened, that God has my back.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So don't be too much disturbed. You know, yes, you are disturbed, but don't be carrying it around like this, you know, this burden to shoulder. So my mindset was one that, okay, Lord, you always took care of me. You always had my back. So here we go. Let's go.
Excellent. And you talked about not speaking up. Now, again, I find with a lot of women, that's a challenge they have is speaking up and, you know, saying asking what they want. What do you think would have stopped you at that time speaking up? I know you said you're conserving your energy, but give me the real deal.
Yeah, I think the real deal is fear.
Yeah.
You know, I distinctly remember the last meeting I had at that organization with members on the board. And as I walked in and I sat down, I couldn't speak. My voice was trembling. And I really, you know, like a frog croaking, I really couldn't speak. And as I continued speaking, my voice got stronger.
Right.
So at the end, I was able to say, you know, thank you for the opportunity. And the thing is that I held no malice and I still don't, you know, against anybody individually or even the organization. You know, I tell people life is too short for that. But what that taught me at that moment is, you know, even when we're afraid, even when we're quivering, and even when we are unsure, that we must still speak. Right. And don't wait to be confident to speak. It is in speaking that we get the confidence. Because as I spoke, I got confident and I was able to walk out there, swing on my heels and walk out there and say, thank you very much.
Fabulous. So Charlene, how has failure made a positive difference in your life?
Failure. You know, somehow probably I operate with blindness on my eyes. Failure, if I think about failure is when I failed, you know, my subject, I think it was math in secondary school. To me, that's failure.
Okay.
For me, the others, you know, doing work, doing my career, lessons to be learned.
Right.
You know, me not speaking up is not failure. Mm-hmm. That's shaping me to who I am today. That's right. Shaping me now to know to speak up. Yeah. Me losing my job, for me, that's not failure. Mm. That's preparing me to be here speaking to you right now. Yeah. So if I look back and think about it, lessons, if I have to share lessons, is to understand that, you know, what happens is what shapes us.
Right.
Maybe negative, yeah. But understand yeah. that it's molding us for something in the future.
Right. Yeah. Right.
But it's to pause and learn the lessons.
Yes.
Pause. We need yes. to pause and
look. So, Sean, I think we touched on it earlier about you looking back and, you know, thinking that, you know, why you didn't speak up and stuff like that. But if you had to start over from scratch, knowing what you know now, what would you do differently?
What would I do differently? I will build deeper relationships.
Okay. And how would you mean by that?
So, I mean, I'm a very hi, how are you doing kind of gal, like I tell people, always on the positive side. But I've always been, from school, I've always been what you may consider a loner. I will have friends, but I am not influenced by what people say.
Right.
So, okay, you know, if we have bum scare this Friday and you're going to line somewhere, I'm contented to go by my friend, okay, or go home. So I'm not swayed by what people say. My mind just went. Just remind me of your question, please. Call it the coronavirus.
If you had to start over from scratch.
Right. If I had that.
What would you do?
What would I do differently? So I was saying building deeper relationships. So I have found that although, yes, I know people, I didn't really keep in contact when I left my full-time job.
Right.
Yeah. And that I would do differently.
Okay.
That transition from full-time to entrepreneur.
Yeah.
That I will do differently so that I didn't build those relationships at a deep level.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So just expand on that a little bit, because I know we always leave people behind and stuff like that, but you talk specifically about your transition from corporate to entrepreneurship. What impact would having those deep relationships have made on your transition?
I think it would have made it, and I think I know it would have made it easier in terms of being to reach out to my network, to turn those networks into clients, for example.
Okay.
Because I recognize too, my head is not a businesswoman head. I come from a place and a space of service.
Right.
So I've been serving in my teenage years in church. You know, you name it, choir, chorale, prayer group, first communion, confirmation, visiting the age, you know, so I come from a place of service. So I sort of moved that transition as a consultant from a place of service.
Right.
And not looking to see what needs to be done to build a successful business.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's where the relationships came in deeper, to convert those relationships into potential clients.
Right. That's interesting you say that, because what comes to mind there when I hear that is almost the gender conditioning that happens. You talked about from service, and I'm sure that probably started as a young child. As you said, growing up, you were there to serve, to be more of a service. And we all know the things about what girls are supposed to do from a gender perspective. And I suppose the one things you probably weren't spoken about, I know I definitely wasn't as a child growing up, was being my own boss, was being the entrepreneur. That probably would, if it was spoken, it probably would have been a boy's thing or a man's thing, not something that you, lady, girl do. So do you think that gender conditioning plays any part in how you approach what you're doing?
It may, and it may be an unconscious bias.
Yes. Yes.
But growing up, my parents never really, not because I'm a girl, although we did have separate choice. So there was gender bias within the household. Right. You know, the girls help on the inside, the boys will see about the yard.
Yes.
But if I use my mother as an example, she loved her garden. My mother will jump down in the drain in front of the house and she'll be cleaning the drain. You know, she was always her own woman.
Right.
So for me, I never looked at any, you know, like we have boxes to fit in as to this is male, this is female.
Right.
For me, it's just do whatever you do and not be conditioned by what society, I'm very aware of how society boxes us in.
Yes.
So even as a parent, I tell my daughters the same thing. You know, my younger daughter, when she was growing up, she probably wanted to be 12 things. And I told her, sure. You know, the fireman, the teacher, the dancer. And I said, you could be anything you want to be.
Right.
And it's important as parents who have daughters that we always pour into them that mindset of, you know, I'm not boxed in. You know, right now I am so proud of my elder daughter who has gone back to her love of art.
Right.
So she has been drawing digital artwork and getting paid for it.
Excellent.
So I am so proud of her.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's how we live. I realize it's how we live because I really didn't expect. And she didn't expect it either.
Mm.
But she is really flourishing now. And I'm so happy that she's actually, you know, have an outlet that she can tap into what really, you know, I always say, set your soul on fire.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. So again, I know I'm harping on this about your transition from corporate to entrepreneurship, but I'm always very interested because, as I said, it's a similar thing I did. But what advice would you share with women embarking on their own entrepreneurship journey? Especially if they have children, young children.
You know, of course, do your research.
Yeah.
You know, the media will make it seem that, oh, your own boss. You know, we have all these pictures with boss lady folding their arms and their hair swinging in the back. But let's be real. That's not what it's about.
Yes.
You know, so I would say do your research, look at your resources and financial. Yes, for sure. Because there are times, you know, you have the boom and the bust. You know, how are you managing your financial resources? And there's a mindset that an entrepreneur has that must be developed.
Right.
And it's that mindset that, you know, that you continue to push even when things are not hunky-dory. And how do you continue to push? What do you need? What are the resources do you need to continue to push when things are down? So it will be do your research and know what you want. And people also think that they have to leave their jobs to be a full-time entrepreneur. And I said, no, you know, whatever, you know, we have to start doing what's good for us.
Yes.
You know, forget what society say we should be like, even as women, as women leaders, you know, we need to, but to do that, we need to understand who we are.
Exactly. Yes.
What are our values? What's
very
important
much.
To us so
very
that
much.
We can chart that path,
yeah.
you know, that is important to us and not what society says.
And you talked on values, and this is the thing I'm very big on, hence the reason why I left my corporate world, because it didn't fit with my values. But what do you think is the importance let me rephrase that. How has your values changed from when you were probably maybe say 15, 20 years ago to where you are now? Or maybe when you're in corporate to being an entrepreneur, being your own boss?
Values. Let's see. When we talk about love, giving. I suppose my values have not changed, but in terms of priority.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In terms of priority, I'm able to give time more to some values that's, as I tell people, I love this term, you know, set your soul on fire.
Yeah.
So I always said I was, you know, I was always of service. So when you're working, it's difficult time-wise to dedicate that time to the things that you like to do in terms of service or helping others.
Yeah.
Now that I'm on my own, I have found the opportunity to go back to those teenage days and young adult days. I joined the Association of Female Executives a few years ago. and actually was, I'm the immediate past president. Right. And my purpose for joining that amazing organization was really to be of service. Right. So I joined their mentorship program, and was continue to be part of that program. So it's not so much a values changing, but I am now able to tap into, the good old days, where I could have dedicated more time in my parish to organizations. So I'm doing more things that make me happy. And that's the blessing of being on my own.
Excellent. So thank you for that, Charlene. Just moving slightly, can I ask, what do you think holds women back from going for their own goals?
It's all in our heads. like I say, some of us have been conditioned by what people say to us.
And
I so understand that. So, I tell people growing up, I was told I couldn't sing, and I believed that for years. I mean, I'm not gonna cut my new CD pretty soon, but back in the days I joined the church choir, and they were glad to have me, because I mean, in church they'll take anybody. So likewise, I think it's all in our heads. We are so conditioned by what we can and cannot do.
Right.
So the first thing we have to look at is our mindset and our confidence. The imposter syndrome kicks in for a lot of professional women, that we feel we don't have the skills. I always give the example, if we're looking at a job application, a job vacancy, and the first thing we do is tick off the skills we don't have. Not what we have. We tick off what we don't have. Then we talk ourselves out of applying for the job. Were it a man, he'll say, yep, I can do that, man. Let me send in my application. No problem.
Absolutely.
So it's about, to me, it boils down to confidence. Having confidence in yourself. And I always used to tell my staff at work back in the days, throw your hat in the ring. It's either yes or no. And then later on, even in my career, I realized now there are three answers. There's yes, there's no, and there is not yet.
Absolutely. And I think when it comes to things like confidence and imposter syndrome, I don't know if you'll agree with me, but it's not something that goes away. People will look at a confident woman or one of us and say, well, they're doing really well, they're this, that, and the other, everything's going great for them. But there are still times that I know, certainly for myself, I have doubts of confidence, or I will question whether I should be, like you said, imposter syndrome, or little mean girl will pop up on my shoulder and say, ooh, who do you think you are? I think the key there for me when that happens is, one, actually recognizing that's what it is.
Yes.
And secondly, knowing the tools that you can use to say, look, get back in your box.
That's right. Absolutely. Just to share, to talk about confidence, I remember when I started, I run this breakfast session quarterly called Conversations Over Coffee. That's how it started. Then my assistant say, brand yourself. So it's now Conversation Over Coffee with Charlene Pedro. And that started 2 years ago. And would you believe I had this concept of having an engaging breakfast session, because I was so tired going to breakfast meetings and just looking at people and they're just talking at you.
Yeah.
And I say, no, Charlene, you're a trainer. You could do something differently. And would you believe, Janice, I had that concept swimming in my head about a year plus.
Wow.
And one day, so I got an invisible kick in my butt and it said, Charlene, just do it. And I, in 1 week, I did my own fly on Canva. I sent out, an email to some of my clients. In 1 week, we were sold out.
Wow.
And when I look back, it's so important for us to pause. Self-reflection is critical. I look back, I pause. I say, Charlene, what was stopping you all this time?
Yeah.
And it was fear. What was the fear? I told myself, okay, Charlene, you're accustomed to doing in-house trading, in your clients' office. You don't really have these, type of sessions. So what if nobody came. Mm. What if you bust?
Yeah.
And really, that was the fear. The fact that I could organize it within a week and be sold out. What really was keeping me back? It was all in my head.
Wow.
All in my head.
And it's very true, because, you know, we keep telling us the what ifs. We keep giving them when we haven't even tried it. You know, like you say, we talk ourselves totally out of it.
Yes.
And then we're like, well, I woulda, shoulda, coulda. You know, I'm like, but it's about, for me, it's about not having regrets. At least try it, you know, because then you'll be like, well, what would have happened if I'd done? There's another if there, you know. let's get rid of those. So, Charlene, share with us a success quote or a mantra that you use and why it's meaningful to you.
I have two, actually. One is when you make a decision, all the universe conspires to make it happen.
Okay.
Yeah. The universe conspires to make it happen. I think that's from Paulo Coelho. Yeah. And that I had experience when I started my business.
Right.
So that's why it's so meaningful for me, because when I started, people offered, you know, you could come use my office if you want to do interviews with people. You could use my admin staff.
Nice.
You know, why don't you try this? So I had so much support from friends and colleagues. You know, up to now, people send me, hey, I saw this in the newspaper, why don't you apply to submit this proposal? So it happens. I'm witness to it.
Yeah.
And the second one for me is, and this is something I actually did a live, I'm not even accustomed doing live on Facebook, but we're going into new galaxies.
Yeah.
You know, again, being self-conscious. But the other one is there's something in you the world needs.
Yeah.
And that I remember every single day. And what it tells me is that, you know, we shouldn't compare ourselves to other people.
Yeah.
Because every person, and I share this with some people on the chat, on the live stream, that, you know, we all have been bestowed with some gifts at birth, whatever it may be. So it may be that you can bake, so whatever it may be. And, you know, the way you do it, nobody does it that way, because you have that skill. You bring your personality, your vibe, whatever it is. So for me, that tells me that whatever I have to offer is something unique, and that we must listen to that voice inside. You know, I don't know if we have time for half a minute story.
We do.
Do we?
Yes.
Okay. So with respect to that, you know, the world, there's something in you that the world needs. I remember I used to send out WhatsApp, which I have to continue. Sometimes I get busy with my core and my core deliverables and don't do these little things that I like to do. So I had sent out some, you know, WhatsApp quote, something motivational, and to a few persons, and somebody responded and she said, thank you so much. I am now in a dark room at work crying, and I just needed to hear that. So that reminds me that, Charlene, somebody's waiting for what you have to share.
Yeah.
So even as I'm busy doing core HR consultancy, I also do personal development training and self-confidence and branding and defining your values, setting your goals. So recently I've started that back online.
Right.
Because I need to make time for it, because again, somebody's waiting for what I have to share. There's something in me the world needs, and that's what really keeps me going.
Excellent. So, Charlene, so in effect, you almost act as an unofficial or, again, unknown mentor. And there's a phrase, and it can't come to my mind right now. But you're obviously influencing people without realizing. Ah, that's it. The term I normally use is an unconscious influencer. So you are influencing people without realizing it, and people are watching you and taking from you. What they can, what works for them, and you become that almost an unconscious mentor. So I'm going to flick it back on you now. If you could choose your own mentor, who would it be and why?
Well, I'll have to sneak somebody in there in terms of names. The first that comes to mind, because I've signed up for her email messages, is Mia Redrick. She's a mum strategist. Not that I want to be a mum strategist, but her story as a corporate trainer, being in corporate and going on her own and setting up a successful online business.
Right.
That resonates with me. So I do follow her. I can't afford her stuff yet, but I take whatever I can via email. So I do follow her. I also started following this person called Janice Sutherland. I don't know if you've heard of her.
I don't know who you're talking about.
As the world will have it, and it's so amazing that I actually got to meet this person, you know? So let me try to not let Abiel be in the picture here. Okay, yeah, Abiel's just facing to the door. But she said it's fine. So, yes. So I started following Janice Sutherland, and, you know, I have found her to be a very warm person when I met her, and so supportive. And I am drawn to her every time we meet and we speak. So that's another one of my mentor, but she doesn't know it yet.
Something tells me she's going to hear this.
She just may after this.
So fantastic. So Charlene, what are the three things that you've learned about yourself during your career?
Well, on the downside, I've learned sometimes I procrastinate.
Okay.
So that's one of the things I have learned. So it's good to, like I say, to pause and do some self-evaluation. Mm-hmm. On the plus side, I have learned that I could really put my shoulder to the wheel and work when I need to.
Right.
Yeah, I can do the 3 a.m.s and get up at 6 in the morning and go again. Yeah. Although we won't do that consistently.
No, I'm shaking my head here because no, not anymore.
So when I do that, I crash in the night. Right. Mentally, yes, I know that, yes, you know, yes, in the night, it's bed early, get a full night's rest.
Yeah.
So I've learned that I could put in the work when I need to.
Right.
What else have I learned about myself? Actually, I have learned that I continue, in despite of the dips, that I continue to have a positive mindset. So I've learned really that my mindset, you know, is all that keeps me going.
Okay. Yeah. Fabulous. So I'm almost coming to my last couple of questions now. So where would we typically find you on a Saturday morning at 10 a.m.?
At 10 a.m.? Well, I hope at that Saturday, I would have gotten up early and go to work, as I do some Saturdays, get up at 5, come home, go in the garden, as I said.
Yeah.
By 10, I'm not a sun person.
Right.
Although we're in Trinidad and Tobago.
Yeah.
So by 10, hopefully I'll be out of the garden and either in my side patio cleaning up, or I may be watching some YouTube videos. I've used Saturday mornings to feed my mind. Right. So I may be watching some motivational videos, some business videos. So I've found that the last, you know, even before this, that I've used Saturday mornings to feed my mind.
Yes. Lovely. And my almost last question. What does success feel like to you?
Oh, gosh. You know, I remember a friend of mine, we were chuckling with ourselves and saying, and this was in a scenario where people were kind of pushing up to get themselves in a picture, you know, get a photograph with someone. Mm. And we were chuckling with ourselves to say, girl, we lack ambition. No ambition, boy, you know? And sometimes I remember that statement, and because people, you know, for a lot of success for people, it's the money and the travel.
Yeah.
People talked about, people talk, oh, to go on this cruise. I have no desire to go on a cruise, even before. So for me, that's not success. For me, success is having the freedom to spend my time how I want to spend my time. It's having the freedom during the week, you know. I go out in my garden during the week. Mm-hmm. My neighbors used to leave waving me and said, you know, oh, you're in your garden. So it's to be able to go in my garden during the week and you know, prune a plant here and there. For me, that is success for me, you know. For me, it's choosing what to do with my time and with whom to spend my time. So for me, that is success. And when I choose whom to spend my time, I tell people my best time, vacation, and probably I'm just the simple girl from Barataria. My best vacation was a road trip with my family from New York to Boston. We didn't take the plane, but it had the best jokes. It was hilarious. And that for me is success.
Fabulous, fabulous, fabulous. Well, that was my last official interview question, Charlene. But if people would like to connect with you or get to know more about what you do, how can they connect with you?
So you could connect either business website, conventusconsulting.com. But really the best way to connect with me personally as a person, you know, your platform is my platform, which is LinkedIn.
Okay, excellent.
So whereas I do have a business website, I'm working on my personal website, must be about a year now. So that's the procrastinating part of me. Started, shelved it. But the best way really to connect on a personal level will be LinkedIn. Okay. Just send me a request. I am free and open to connect. And I do enjoy the, you know, the conversations and the platform.
Right. And you're just a Charlene Pedro on LinkedIn? That's just your
connection? Yes, that's right.
Excellent, that's excellent. Correct. Well, I'll make sure I put all the links in the show notes. If people want to connect, they have everything they can do to connect with you. So as I said, Sean, that was my last question. Thank you so much for your time this Saturday morning. I will let you go back to your garden because I'm itching to get back to mine too. Thank you so much for your time.
And Janice, I want to thank you. It's really, really been, you know, fun chatting with you this morning. And I know that we will keep in contact because, you know, I have really actually met one of my mentors.
Oh, fabulous.
So thank you so much.
Thank you so much too.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that interview. And as I said, there's always a great takeaways from each of the interviews I do. And what I took away from that is really how much you can learn from circumstance, what's happened to you. Take away the learning, because as Charlene rightly said, what happens to us is actually what shapes us. But we can actually mold it a little bit. And when I say from molding, is that we don't have to let things happen to us. We can actually take that learning and control the outcomes from some or the future outcomes to some extent by how we respond to what's happening. And that is all about getting comfortable with the uncomfortable, which is what I said. So I love that when she lost her job, when she had to change careers, it didn't faze her. But quite conversely, she also took some learning the fact that going back, what she would have done is probably built her network, knowing that she could be in this situation at some point. So as I said, great learnings. So this week, what I'd, you know, say to do is to sit back. You know, we may all be facing some sort of adversity as a result of COVID and the situation. But as we're reverting to business unusual, as I said, think about what you can learn, what you can take away. I just did a recent post on social media and in the group This Woman Can about what I've learned during the lockdown period, especially in my garden, because I spent a lot of time in my garden over the past couple of weeks. And I have built sheds, I've built various contraptions, but there's a post there, there's definitely some learning I've learned from there, how I can adapt my skills. So I'm rambling anyway. All that remains to be said is I hope you are well wherever you are when you listen to this. Please be sure to join the This Woman Can community online. I would love to have your feedback about what you think about the podcast. If you can rate, review, subscribe, that'd be fabulous. And I'll look forward to connecting with you next time. So until next time, take care. And remember, if I can, you can, this woman can. Hi, it's Janice. Thanks for being a supporter of the podcast. But have you joined the This Woman Can community online? It's where ambitious women can share experiences, strategies, and insights that equip and inspire them to build their career success, maximize their leadership, and make an impact in their world. And it's free. Join today. Visit www.thiswomancan.coach. Look forward to meeting you there.